Hello, and today at Uncle Data, we have Aida Stukas and Inga Plevgo, who's actually organizers of PyCon Lithuania. And this is actually the topic we're going to discuss today. So I guess short introduction would be in order, right, for the listeners to actually know a bit of you, right? And from there, we can kick it off, you know, how you met and how you thought of this idea actually to bring PyCon to Lithuania. Who wants to start?
Aida, do you want?
Yeah, I can. So, hello everyone. I'm Aidas. I know, just brief introduction. I'm from Kaunas. I'm almost 40 years old. IT was not first of my things I did in my life. I joined it when I was 30 years old, and actually I was looking for like how to get involved with the IT community, and then I found the PyCon Lithuania conference, and I don't know, maybe we can tell more details about it later.
So comment on your IDIS introduction. So you have changed your profession before it was cool, before those coding academies. Yeah.
We might say so. I never heard about them at that time.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Inga, and I'm Python developer. With a hobby organizing things, events. So that's how I'm here. And I'm with team with IDIS for 5 years now, I guess. Yeah, it's like, you know, pretty nice. Committed relationship.
Nice. So as I understand, IDIS was looking as the way, like the gateway, you know, to the community, right? And he found it. And how, Inga, you found it? Via IDIS or via some other, you know, common acquaintance?
So IDIS at that time had a not small team, for us two now, you know, four people is a big team, seems like. And he posted a forum who wants to join, and it was like a big step for me because I wanted to organize more bigger events, not just in my company. And I was very nervous. So, but IDIS accepted me, and I was impressed that first my task was go to Poland and attend PyData with all the team, you know, it was fun, team building style, and and shocking at the same time. It's like things going so fast.
It's like a small startup, right? Where you wear multiple hats, do multiple things, you know, and get things rolling, you know, as it's needed. Nice. Interesting. And just because of the Poland part, actually, how big of a community there? Or like how big of an event? But it's not even upheld now.
We were at that event in Poland in 2018.
It's okay.
A long time ago, and I guess how many people? I don't remember.
400 or 500 at the time. It was like PyData Warsaw.
Yeah.
And right. If you ask about like size of the community, what's interesting about Poland, that we organized PyCon Lithuania, and the big part of PyCon Lithuania is of course data, PyData events. And then we have one event that has all kinds of things covered. But in Poland, you have PyData Warsaw, you have local PyCons, you have like competing PyCon conferences. So it's much more scattered, and there's no like one Python place to go and then see all the things.
Okay, interesting. But I guess that makes sense, you know, having a way larger population, you know, compared to Lithuania. You organized, you know, I think this year's is going to be 14th, if I'm not mistaken, PyCon, right?
I think it's 13th. Yeah, okay. Just opened, just for preparation for the podcast, I have some talks, and the first one, if anyone's interested, was in 2009, organized in by Jurgis Pralgauskis and in Kaunas gymnasium, KTU gymnasium. And after that, there was 3 years gap. And then every year, except for COVID, we had events. So.
Ah, nice. And that's why it threw me off, why I thought it's 14th. Because 13th number is 2023 TBD, and the 12th one is 2023. So that's why I thought, like, oh, 23, plus one. Nice. Okay, but in general, right, I guess organizing meetups, right, that's also partially what you're also involved in, right, in the Python community in general. Like, conferences is a big change. So I think in general, let's talk about, you know, the challenges maybe, and actually, like, maybe how the process looks, how, you know, just for people to understand actually how much work is there, you know, before, you know, they all participate, you know, what they see and so on. So from what does it start, you know, the whole organizing of the event?
From picking up a date. And you pick up a date depending on the availability of keynote.
So not keynote first then?
Well, it's like we have several dates on mind, and then we suggest for keynote, and then he picks up. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
And, a lot of those who start organizing events start to think about all different small details that are not as important. And as Inga mentioned, like the date, the keynotes, and to choose them, you would also need to know the other big events that are happening around. You know, especially when we target big names, like we always try to have some well-known names in our lineup. You would not like to interfere with PyCon US or something. We target people who are making keynotes in PyCon US, you know, and to get them, you don't want to compete with that size of conferences. And but yeah, these are the first things.
Okay. So talking about this year's and like the keynotes, right? Since we already started talking, I think it's gonna have Richie Wing, who's a creator of Colors. Yeah. And Daniel Roy Greenfield.
Yes, exactly.
Nice. So for Richie, I met him last year. Like, it was super nice to talk to him. How actually you chose, you know, like, if to approach Richie or if to talk with Daniel, you know, by what are you actually, you know, targeting the people for keynote?
Yeah, first of all, well, they have to be known. No, their projects have to be known. Their name has to ring a bell. Either their name or their project has to mean significant thing for the community. Or, I don't know, maybe someone who is making hundreds of thousands of watches on YouTube, you know. Like, so, and it's not only like popularity chasing, because we also try to find some smaller upcoming projects that are, you know, still trying to find their niche, make their name. But for a keynote, yeah, you have to, I don't know, your project has to be significant, has to have a significant amount of GitHub stars, forks, whatever, you know, downloads. You have to be well followed on Twitter or X, you know. Your videos has to be watched. Well, to be a keynote, you have to do some significant things. Yeah. And Polars, of course, is on the rise. Like, we feel like, you know, this is not the most widely used project right now. It might become one, we don't know, but its traction is big enough for us to try to get him as a keynote. And for Daniel, no, this is, of course, your listeners are more data people, but maybe someone did some or at least heard of Django. You know, he has, like, I guess, maybe the most popular Django book out there, Two Scoops of Django. You know, a lot of people grew up doing web development in Python world, reading his book. So yeah, I didn't mention that. You know. Write a well-known book.
that makes sense, because when we talked with Inga at one meetup and she was like super excited over trying to get Daniel, you know, I'm like, I'm not aware. That's the reason why, right? On different end. So these two keynotes are actually, you know, looks like, you know, from completely different parts, right? One is more like data oriented, right? Data frames. Another one is like Django, which is web development, right?
Yeah.
Can we talk about the switched format in a way of 2024?
Of course.
Yeah. Yes.
Inga?
I can shortly tell. So this next event is gonna be a 3 days talks event. So first day would be for web Python, so like Django, Flask, web scraping topics, and etc. Second date will be for Python, like whatever you want to be talked about it, and by date, of course, it's one of the biggest and hottest days, I guess. The most attendees will be that day. And why we decided to do this format after collecting some feedback from this year's spring event, just a lot of people would say that there are a lot of by data topics and less with simple Python and web Python. So we just didn't want people to be disappointed. So we just want inclusion to grow community and not just become a PyData event, just want to be inclusive. Yeah.
Nice. I guess, yes, I did.
That's something that we would still encourage everyone who is at least a bit interested into, you know, venturing and seeing other parts of Python, you know, so we will make sure that you would pay little extra to get into other parts of the event, you know. So if there's at least any interest, we'll make sure that you will not suffer of because of that interest, and then you will be able to attend with minimal expenses to the other parts of the event.
Nice. But that sounds really, really cool, you know, splitting up things. And I guess, you know, some of the data folks will for sure go to the web part because, you know, Flask, Fast API, you know, those things are part of how you serve your machine learning models or, you know, like create your data apps for other people to use.
Yeah. And one more thing, we were thinking about the actual layout of the 3 days. So the Python part is the most abstract, the most generic one. It's for a reason, the middle one, because, well, we will talk about, you know, domain agnostic things. We will talk about, I don't know, how to write nice code, you know, for example. So these are things that are important for whatever code that you write. And as you said, even some people in data would be still interested in visiting some web talks for whatever deployment or building web APIs or I don't know whatever other part. Yeah.
Though I guess the contest, you know, for getting your talk is also gonna be a bit more easier, right? Because, you know, it will not happen like it will be more condensed on the relevant topics, right? And actually, for people to decide to which talk to go to listen actually is going to be interesting also.
On that, we tried when we had 2 day conference, we tried to have a lot of talks, you know, a lot of talks, a lot of content. And that's one of the difference I would say from other smaller Python conferences, because some of them, I don't know, for example, PyCon Estonia, they would just say, oh, there's one track, you know, we will run with it. And they, of course, they have a good, there's some good in that because you can focus on really good talks. So now when we spread into 3 days, we will not try to have as many talks. We will try to make sure maybe have smaller amount of talks in a day, but really, really have selected ones and really high quality ones. So we'll try to not increase the quantity, but like focus on quantity this year a bit more.
Nice. So that's amazing. I'm talking about, you know, the process, right? For me, it's always interesting, you know, to understand how different conferences actually are choosing, you know, which talks to accept, you know, or, you know, who goes on waiting list and whatnot. And when you're filling a form, it seems like, you know, you can put very, very limited amount of information, right? When in this case, right, PyCon Lithuania is going to be in 2024 April from 2nd to 6th.
Yeah. You know?
And submissions are till January, right? So there's like a month and a half to submit, and you have to carefully think through about things, right? So for folks who are thinking, you know, how to put your proposal for the talk, right? What they should address and what should they focus actually for their talk to get accepted?
Yeah, I can answer that. Well, every time on every year we try to think and we talk about like, should we, what topics should we address, you know, should we address during the conference? There will always be things like, hey, these are the trends in Python world, let's say, or in data world. There is always also, hey, these are the things that our participants expect, or sometimes our sponsor partnership companies expect, you know, because they also work with some tooling, some frameworks, or in some domain. But it's not easy for us to communicate that to the participants of the CFP. But even this and the last year on CFP page, we tried to say these are the topics that we are looking talks for. These are our priority topics, and you, if you target them, you will have more focus. But however, that means, that doesn't mean that these are the only ones, the topics that we are focusing on. We always also look, evaluate better those people who are actually presenting the stuff that they did. For example, you don't have to have a super popular project, but if you are someone who is like contributing to open source, maintaining a project, maybe it has, I don't know, like 30 stars, you know, 50 stars. There's some very niche thing, but it's, you're doing actual things. It's not only like you're making another tutorial to a framework that you can find 200 of them like after first search. No, so you're contributing something original, something unique. That's awesome. You know, we encourage these, you know. And of course, always there's, you have to pitch your idea, you know. You have to write it a lot. Also on this, last year we had the question, did you use ChatGPT to generate your proposal? So I think I did not catch like hard statistics on that, but from what I saw, more than half of people were already using it. And we encourage, you know, if ChatGPT helps you to write a better proposal and you work with it or any other language model, you know, with the help of AI, let's say you can bring a good proposal, your chances are better. But if you're sloppy, you know, if you're making mistakes, if you just sit down one evening and took like 2 minutes to write proposal, we'll see that, you know, we'll see that and say sorry. And yeah, in the previous years, you know, I have to say, at least last year, we had 3 talks into one slot. That was the competition. Previously, we had to chase people and ask them to attend the CFP. But now we have like more competition, and that means that, you know, those who are sloppy, they will not go through.
But I guess it actually makes sense, right? If you create a catchy thing, right? Even like you mentioned, ChatGPT helps you. Whatever, if you can deliver your talk, actually, you know, and you can commit to that, like, why not, right? Because it's super hard for everyone to understand, you know, what's your talk going to be about? What's going to be the level? Just, you know, from like abstract and a short kind of description. Right? So that makes sense. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, and one detail for those who are actually thinking or preparing to submit a talk, you know, there's one very, very particular tip I would have to give. So in the CFP porn, there's this thing, it's called notes. So notes are the things that the guests of the websites don't see yet, but organizers see. So as one who's submitting the proposal, you can send extra information, material that would convince people that you actually know what you're talking about, and things. What actually helps is an outline of your talk. You know, if you have slides or a structure of your talk, let's say you have to talk for 25 minutes, maybe you'll have 20 slides, you know. Tell us about every slide that you have, you know. What's the flow? So we understand how you tell the story, you know, and that helps. That helps a lot, you know.
Ah, okay. Didn't thought about the notes part, actually. That's where the human touch actually, you know, shines, and we can see, you know, if it's, you know, just generated text or if it's like, you know, like quickly bashed and so on. So
yeah, you can offer like, we'll buy you a drink or something if you get your offer accepted or something.
But since you mentioned, you know, like, commit, you know, like, committing or like, you know, contributing to open source, right? So that's also one of the days actually what's happening on the PyCon, right? It's the Sprints day.
Yes, Saturday, the last day of the entire event.
How did that idea actually, you know, appear to create something, you know, for people to contribute and to, you know, just in general to understand open source and its community? Because last year I really liked actually Mark Garcia's, you know, talk, actually, where he did, you know, oh, you know, if you want to put the contribute, you know, to, you know, like some open source, you know, library, you should do this with some examples. It actually didn't seem that daunting to, you know, to actually contribute. I'm like, oh, it's not that hard. You just have to think of some things. So how did the idea materialize of adding sprints, you know, to be part of PyCon?
So it's quite easy. Like you travel to other conferences, you see what they do, you know, and like I saw people who are, you know, meet in one place and have some experience working together, not only talking or listening, but actually working on some small stuff. That's awesome. And that was a little dream that we tried to implement for a few years already, but it was always problematic to find people who can actually lead the sprints. But last year we were happy. We are lucky to have, I think, three people, Mark Garcia for Pandas and Manta Zimnickas from OpenGov Data, author of Spinta project. And I think there was some other one. And we actually had a sprint of 15 people. So that was the first time we actually got something going, and we hope that this will grow, and we will not only attend the conferences just to, you know, listen to people and do some chat or networking, but actually sit down with someone and make a merge request or two, you know.
But that merge request has to be also, you know, not only reviewed, but also merged, you know, like a final product, right?
That's not necessary, at least. It can be rejected, you know, it's still, you're still contributed, you know?
But it seems that this part actually, you know, excited you a lot, right? So what for you personally, for each of you, right, was the most exciting actually moments, you know, what drives you to push, you know, each year, you know, to go through the same challenges and same, you know, things over and over? What drives you?
Well, I can start. Well, for me personally, it's just the feedback we receive. Everyone is very happy and grateful, and also, there are people who travel to other conferences and can make comparison So they just say, yeah, you have that quality. So that's keep driving us. So, yeah, that's for me, I guess.
As Inga says, like, big part also for me is people just saying thanks during your after the event. You know, it's very, very heartwarming when someone says, hey, I've been visiting PyCon Lithuania since whatever, you know, since whatever time, and you're improving, and it's the event I will never miss, and things like that, you know. So even though at that time you're very tired after last month and a week of organizing the event, but this encourages a lot. And second thing, you know, if we would not be doing this, that means we would not have event I can drive in 1 hour to, you know. That means I would need to travel somewhere. And also for me, who's taking over the CFP part, I can have the talks, the lineup I want, you know. I organize conference I would like to visit myself, you know. So you cannot have that other conferences. You get what you're served, but here we have a chance to have local conference with the lineup that we want, you know.
Actually, that's one thing I really liked, you know, about PyCon Lithuania, like compared, you know, to the other conferences I've been to, is actually that, you know, there are no so-called sponsored, you know, spots where some people just kind of buy their way in, I assume, because, you know, their quality of their content is, you know, very vague, very abstract, and it's like not delivering value. But compared to the PyCon, I guess it's company agnostic and not, you know, going for those what gives the most value for the community, actually. Right.
Well, I guess Inga can tell more on that. She's responsible. We never said that, but Inga is the one who's dealing with all the sponsorship and partnership things. So.
So let's talk then about this. The interesting part for the companies who's actually listening and thinking how to, you know, be involved in the PyCon.
So every company is welcome, obviously. And comparing our conference to others, the most of tech companies, we are just community conference, which is interested in growing community and not making money of it. And that's why our sponsorship packages are very cheap comparing to others. And we just don't want to make an impression that if company only looking for recruiting, then they can participate and partner with us. No, just buy a smallest package we have, get a discount for tickets for your employees, and that's how you contribute to the community. Because Python is open source, and it's not like have licenses or something. You're free using free product and making money on this. So just why you're using this free product? Because it has a big community. So let's support it.
And it's free.
Yeah, it's free.
Okay. Like for me, it's I'm gonna give a question, right? So since you know I'm from. Like my social bubble of people, you know, are usually, you know, Python data people, right? And my question is, you know, so how many actually companies you actually, like apart from those, you know, who comes, you know, as sponsors, right? How many of Python tech companies are here in Lithuania, let's say?
There are who concentrates only on Python, there are a few. Mostly it's consulting or multi-projects companies which have a lot of tech, a big tech stack. So, we have our favorites, like those who have major language Python. So you can see those in our event every year.
Yeah, nice. So spoilers, no free ads, you know, for the companies.
Yeah.
Become a sponsor at PyCon, you know, and then we can, you know, plug it in afterwards.
Exactly.
But, you know, like what caught my attention, right?
Yes. Sorry, can I? I would like to shout out one past sponsor. Also,
that's
also...
Sorry, yeah.
So that sponsor was a former colleague of Inga. He is also, I guess, the person with the most talks in PyCon Lithuania history. And he used to be our sponsor. So the person, Petras Danavičius. Thank you, Petras, for everything. So, like, now we are very self-sufficient as an organization, as an event. But there were times where we were living only out of sponsor money. The event was free totally. And we always try to make it better one. And of course, to make better event, you have to have money. It's not like you can have everything for free. So, Petras Stanavičius, again, he became our sponsor by buying one of the packages. So we were thinking whether we should add his photo into our website among the logos of our real sponsors. So, and that makes you think, you know, when different companies you know, think whether we should support, and these companies are making a lot of money. It's IT world, you know. So thank you for the persons like Petras who are just saying whatever. Like, everyone's hesitating to sponsor this event. I'll just send them money and we'll keep it going. So that was awesome. Thank you, Petras, once more. Like,
he was and is a believer of our community.
Nice. That's super, super, super nice to hear. Actually, you know, that it's also, you know, some individuals, you know, contributing to, you know, the growth of the community. But what stood out to me, you know, is like that you mentioned, you know, oh, couple of months, you know, like organization and whatnot. How long does the process actually takes, right? Because, like I mentioned, you know, CFP started now. You know, we see the website already, you know, having updated things. Right, it's already, you know, like inviting people to pull CFPs. Then you have CFP reviews. Then all the organizing with the event, like venue and so on. How long does it take actually to create such an event?
Usually, it takes at least 8-9 months. But this year, we decided to make a show. Well, we just spontaneously decided on the date because of the one of the keynotes, and it's in April, and we decided this on October, in the beginning of the October, so it's like half year sprint for us this time. But we have experience, we have a lot of things, infrastructure automated, so, and we're still trying to introduce new features and new topics, new whatever activities in our conference during this short time. And yeah, if this conference will satisfy you, then I will say half a year is enough.
Yeah, we'll have to say that this is not our full-time job, you know, like this, yeah. This is I would say throughout the year it takes 10% of my working time. But that means usually close to, I don't know, I often used to take at least 1 week vacation, sometimes 2 weeks of vacation before the actual event. So 2 weeks before the event is a full time, often, especially when we had a bit less experience. But if we consider like spread out throughout the year, and of course intensity increases as the event is coming closer, and as Inga said, we try to spread it out more so we don't have like personal, I do not encourage this, but I used to do this way when I was not able to take vacation before. So how it happened, I buy some energy drinks, yes. And before my day job, I drink energy drink, work some things. During my lunchtime, I work some things. And after my work, I drink some energy drink and do some extra things. So if you do not have extra time, it hurts. And we try to, you know, make sure that we don't have this thing when we have to deal with every single thing at the last week or so. But this happens, you know.
This is life.
Yeah.
So then the question, right, you know, since it takes a lot of time, right, how, like, if someone else, right, would want to, you know, help out, you know, or, like, contribute, you know, to PyCon in general, right, in Lithuania, how should they reach you, approach you, you know, is there a process, you know, or it's, you know, as it happens on an ad hoc basis, right, how does that work?
So the latest posting on the forum of a volunteer, as we're also here volunteers with IDIS, was a newsletter which came up this week, last week, kind of.
Yeah.
And but if you want, you can contact us anytime on LinkedIn. On the website, there are emails. Just write out email and we will talk to you.
If I had a PyCon LT.
Yes.
Or. Yeah, there are multiple ways of contact.
Yeah, Facebook.
Nice. Then question, since I'm, of course, you know, you mentioned newsletter. I'm like, first time I'm hearing about this. Where can I find it? Because I'm browsing now PyCon LT, right? And I don't think I can find it that easily.
Yeah, could use some help with the user experience, I guess, the website. But yeah, it's in 2004. One of the links, join newsletter. I think we should make it more visible, I guess.
Okay.
Well, Facebook, LinkedIn, then.
Okay. Good. So I'll try through there. So that's good. Okay. I'll add it, of course, to the footnote of or the end description as well of this podcast. So it would be straight path, you know, for others looking at it. So that's super nice. I'm thinking of one other thing, which kind of, I think at the start, flew out of my mind is the poster session.
Yeah.
Is it something new?
Yeah, it's new. And, again, like while we visit other conferences, we see lots of different stuff happening. And, well, before IT, I used to think about pursuing research career, you know. And for me, it's a little bit of nostalgia when I go to the other conferences and I see some research being presented as a poster session, you know, people printing their big things, you know, and talking about what the stuff that they do. So it always felt nostalgic to me. And this year, as we contacted with Tomas Krilavičius from Vytautas Magnus University, information faculty, if that's the right name, and he said that they would help us with scientific part, you know, they would help us to distribute the call with the scientific community. And when we get this kind of help and it's not everything that we have to do by our own, they say, hey, let's do this. So we would expect, we hope for, I don't know, at least maybe six people, you know, having their slots to tell you about like what wonderful research and science they do while using Python. I don't know, maybe discovering new galaxies or whatever. Like, I don't know, building some genome stuff. Like, who knows?
That's the interesting part, I think, you know, like where the majority of like breakthroughs are actually, you know, like findings of how to, you know, like improve some system or like, you know, how to do something, you know, in a more interesting way, right? Actually, that happens in the research, right? With the black hole picture, right? I think they also did some magic mumbo jumbo there to actually make it work. And now I think it's used even more. So I think that's also a great way to introduce the scientific community.
I remember like 4 or 5 years ago, there was some discovery of extraterrestrial planet. And basically this was like a image of, I don't know, 10 by 10 pixels and varying shades of gray, you know, and someone write a Python script that, based on the changes of the shades of gray, distinguish that there should be some planet orbiting, you know. So that's the stories we're looking for.
Oh damn, that's interesting. Okay, now I'm drifting away with my mind, you know, what other interesting approaches there are, you know, from scientific area. But since, like I mentioned, we're here to talk more about PyCon, right? So I'm thinking, actually, since, you know, you mentioned you're visiting a lot of different conferences, right? How do you choose to which other conferences to go, right? Because actually, you know, like from there, you pick up new ideas. You know, you think, you know, that might work, you know, at PyCon, that might not. How do you choose other conferences? And what are you looking for in them that you can transfer that learning to the PyCon Lithuania?
So I can start add up if you think of something. So yeah, firstly, we just see how many participants there will be, and keynotes, speakers, and also reviews from other speakers who are visiting our conference. Like, they say, oh, PyCon Italy is fun. So I think we will be visiting them next year to see what's that about. And yeah, for me, I participated first time EuroPython like last year, 2022, and I really liked it, and I said for myself that it's a must-go conference for me each year, because they're not always the same. They are changing, and they're introducing new activities. Also, they have a big pool of contacts and speakers, so we can use it. And I guess that's from my side. Yeah.
Well, what flew under the radar is that we not only go to other conferences to see like what activities they do. One of big part of that is actually get in touch with the potential speakers. You know, like it's of course possible to get connected without that. You know, it's internet world, but when you meet people and say hello face to face, like this is a different contact, and this is important for us. And also, of course, we try to visit big events, because you'll find more, but we also try to visit events of our size that we can you know, transfer from in like they're more similar to us. And as we cover different parts of different domains, you know, not only data, other aspects of Python, we try to visit different kinds of events, you know, and of course recommendations help. If we ask someone, hey, what do you think about this event? Say, I would never go back to it. No, we will not go it. But there's definitely ones that people recommend, and we try to wander around. Yeah.
So okay, from you know, you mentioned a lot, right? The criteria and whatnot. So in your situation, what conferences would you suggest listeners to also go? PyCon Lithuania is a must, and everyone has to attend, you know, and to meet with other people. That's, you know, that's a fact. But other ones, you know, like what you recommend from out of your experience, you know, which you acquire through this time?
Data related, I guess. Yeah.
No. Don't limit yourself. Come on. A lot of things transfer, right? Like, we just talked, right, how fast API, you know, those, you know, from the web development, right, transfers there. You mentioned Python being an abstract thing, right, where you can teach or learn, you know, new practices or like new ways of writing code and whatnot. That also transferring. Not limited to data, please.
So I'll give my three recommendations, let's say. I'll start with the Python one. So when we talk about Python community conferences, the community conference, in the sense like least corporate, you know, most organized by people only, and I don't know, it's almost a mess, but in a good way, you know? So it's PyCon UK, and it is happening in Cardiff, in Wales. And it's Cardiff, it's very similar, oh, this is a different thing. It's a bit bigger than Kaunas, I guess a bit smaller than Vilnius, so it's very local size. It's not taking place in London or whatever, but it's very local, very community vibe, very, I don't know, special event, I would say. Yeah, and I know, maybe Inga, you go with one.
Yeah, well, EuroPython, yeah, it's like also community, and there are a lot of people you can meet, companies also, and every time it takes another place, so you can travel Europe.
Nice. Okay, so that's two, right? Either you said three. You said three.
Yeah, I could drop some names again. I think I never been to PyData Berlin, that I've heard, but Python, again, in UK, PyData London is great. That PyData London is actually the first PyData event in Europe. That's where it all started. Now we have in Europe, I know, dozen, maybe 100 different events happening. So that's the one where the main PyData event in Europe, I would say. And if you're looking for something close by, I don't know, PyData Warsaw was good a few years ago. Not sure if they are still organizing this. Yeah. But it was good.
Okay, nice.
And so, close by, so.
That's true. I think you can get now by train from Vilnius, right? So shouldn't be long drive, but you know, it is what it is. But like now, you know, to tie everything together, right? How to get the best out of your experience in any conference, right? From your side, you mentioned you were, you know, choosing not only talks, what to take out of it, but also networking part, right? What people should actually look, or how should they, you know, focus or like create their own experience at these conferences, right? Because it's not like you mentioned only the listen to the presentations, right?
I'll just give a very, very short intro. Maybe Inga, you can follow up. Like, the first mistake is never go to the events for the talks. You know? The talks, I will tell you a secret for those who are still in the podcast, are a bait. You know, the main dish of the conferences is the people that you meet, the new people, or maybe your old colleagues. You know, that's the whole thing. You know, the talks are for a bait. We try to bait you into a community, you know. So that's the main thing. You know, you can always find better talks on YouTube. 95% chance, 99% chance. If you look for a YouTube, you'll find better content, but you'll never find a place nearby you can meet all the people and network in one place. So that's the main thing.
Yeah, totally agree with Aidas. When you come to a conference, you have to be open-minded, friendly, like don't hesitate or turn down people coming to you to ask how you're doing, what you're doing, where you use Python. And comparing other conferences in Europe related to Python and ours, on our side, it's unfortunate that our social event is not so big and effective as in other conferences, because for example, in Czech Republic, we had a great time on a social event and talked to a lot of people from Czech Republic, from Germany, from Poland, from UK. It's like, you know, when you open up to stranger, it feels so fine, and he opens up to you, and it's very quality talk we got there. So yeah, and if any of your listeners have any ideas how we could improve our social events to make it more attractive, so please write us in LinkedIn or Facebook.
We have a global plan, like big idea that there will be three, maybe four different social events, like dinner, reception, party. That depends on how much sponsorship we'll receive, So that's an idea for any companies or representatives of the companies, we like to have both good content and good parties, Maybe for those who are not feeling too well, interacting with strangers during the coffee break, we'll try to loosen you up with multiple social events.
That's nice. I think, like you mentioned, right, the community in general, right, that's the most important thing, right? So
yeah,
we should all focus on actually, building a better community for tomorrow, which should in the end, be a place for people to share, and to actually, push things through. So that seems like a very nice idea and the whole plan in general. So I know, maybe closing remarks, you have something to share more, some tips to give to the listeners.
Maybe not a tip, but in general, we always welcome ideas of what we can improve. We always are looking for content talks. Like we appreciate you, Thomas, for having the idea of having like interviews during the conference. That's awesome. I think if there's anyone else with some ideas what we can do extra and to make our conference like more exciting, more interesting, that we always welcome you. Just let us know, we'll try to implement that. Maybe you can also be part of that too.
So Ish, so the thing is with that, I just send them an email, right? And that sounds nice. Let's talk on details how to approach it. And like one call and a couple of emails later. Yeah, okay, let's do it. Who's coming. So let's arrange these things. I'm like, damn, that was fast and efficient. So yeah, if you have any ideas, so feel free to reach out. Was very smooth last year, and let's see what's coming this year. So thank you both. It was actually interesting to know more what's happening under the hood and actually organizing the conference. And for the listeners, so see you at PyCon 2024 in Vilnius, which is going to be on April from 2nd to 6th.
Yes.
So see you guys there. And thank you both for joining me on this podcast episode.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Thomas.